The following is from Ghost Coast Studios, the world's first and only podcast network.
Raw, I think I preferred also.
Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrick Taylor, she, they, am doing a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars and making it your problem. This week's esteemed victim is...
Rem. They, it, the post.
I was going to say, which one do you go with? Do you go with the ham god? Do you go with the post, the entire council of Rem?
Oh, we go with the entire council of Rems, typically.
Yeah, which I feel like collectively is the posts. I'm so excited. Exactly. We have the posts on this week. I promise Blue Sky Elder TM. And that means derogatory things nowadays. But for me, it's just like people I knew in 2023. So the posts. Yay. Yeah. See, the act of doing it is a skeet. The thing itself is a post, but the dialect is posts with an E. Exactly. But then, yeah, then the posts, Remjamin, welcome.
I was going to expound more on the nomenclature, this is a symposium,
if you will. This is a Blue Sky podcast. We have the post. Please enlighten us.
So, the post is eaten. A post are all different things. And if you didn't catch that, the last one is post with an E.
Natch.
Which I love hearing how everyone pronounces post. Because I just enunciate the T. But I love posties and postis with the mostis.
Yes, postis. That's good.
But, a skeet is both a verb and a type of post. Not every post is a skeet, but not every skeet is a post either.
Naturally, yes.
A post is always a skeet and never a post, except for when it's a post. And you skeet post, you post skeets, or skeet skeets. And the art is posting. And that would sound any different the way I pronounced it just then. But it's actually spelled P-O-S-T-E-I-G-N.
Posting. So, and like, is there more? Please.
I don't think so. I think, no thoughts, only post.
There you
is
go.
The philosophy of really the whole thing. But yeah, a post, no E, is one that contained thought.
Okay.
Is, I think, fair. It.
All right, so my only problem with any of this,
yes,
Rem, is that I'm not sure how I'm going to fit all of that in the title of the episode. I'm going to try. But holy hell. All right, everybody. Yes.
To skeet, to post, perchance to post.
Yes. Yes. What skeets may come. C-U-M. All right. Okay. So anyway, back on track. No, everyone, I'm so happy you were class dismissed. My usual opening question then. What, if any, relation before I slid into your DMs to subject you to this, do you have to wrestling?
Okay, so I've read the first chapter and a half of Josie's book.
Hell
Josie's
Ringmaster. Ringmaster, required reading. Congrats.
Yeah, and I read. I'm still working, and I will finish it. Very excited about it.
That counts. It's a heavy read. I feel like I don't say that enough to people when I recommend it. Like, it's a heavy read.
I think I haven't even gotten to the heavy parts yet. Or the heaviest. I bet.
Well, I gave you a primer today.
Yeah. What else? And I've listened to the Mountain Goats album Beat the Champ.
Naturally.
Approximately 25,000 times.
Also required listening. Maybe not that many, but it couldn't hurt.
I know face and heel and the concept of kayfabe.
Yeah. the basics. I like that a lot of people basically have that now. Thank you, Josie, as always, for getting that more widely known. So, like, I can skip that part. But excellent. So have you ever like watched it regularly or?
Not regularly. Like a kid that I used to babysit, he and his mom were really big into wrestling.
I'm pretty sure that's really not the first time I've heard that. That's amazing.
I think it was Raw because I remember WrestleMania as a word. I'm very unclear on what it is, but we can talk about that later.
It does get saved. It very much comes up. We are on the road to WrestleMania where we are now.
But yeah, no, watched a couple episodes. I didn't really like get into it, especially with my mom going like, you guys know that's fake, right? Like that's fake. It's important that you know that's fake because he was like 11.
Yeah.
Around the age or in the age range where you might reenact thing.
Yes. And let me tell you, as someone was a kid around that age range who was way hardcore into this shit. We did, yep. And we will. But we also, as to a certain point, understood it was fake. So like we were still working it. I wasn't actually breaking my cousin's ankle. I just he was just selling it like you. Right. But that scared the shit out of our parents who didn't realize that we knew it was fake. And that was the most fun for me though is my parents were like that. Yeah, right. But they were absolutely like that too. And the funniest thing though is my dad kept trying to come up to me during these big moments of stuff and be like, well, yeah, but that's fake. But he kept doing it during times where like people like actually died and shit. Later on in next year, 1997, a guy gets like legit screwed out of a title belt and he's like, yeah, but it's all fake. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is real. He just spit out his boss on live TV. Like I think he like, and sure enough, right. That was real. So it's needless to say, I've never had a strong grip on reality because of that. Probably. But what would you like to start off with in our double header here? Nitro or Raw?
Okay. So So Raw, I think I preferred a couple all those. Where? And then Nitro, I confess, I watched on 1.5 speed.
That's not a bad way to do it, to be honest.
Which was amazing, incidentally. Like, I loved it. Fine with starting with either. I'm sorry, I know that's not really helpful.
That's fine. You know what? I'm going to start with Nitro because I think that's very funny and it giggles me. And Raw was, I will say, meaty this week.
Yeah, it was rough.
It was rough, and it was, but also fabulous at the same time. It's on brand for this point. But Nitro, Eazy-E, Eric Bischoff welcomes us again to the first time he's ever calling it this, the War Zone Live, and somewhere Vince McMahon says, "Write that down, trademark." because Raw will eventually go to 2 hours and it's Raw and then Warzone. The 2 hours have two different names. Oh. So Vince straight up stole that from Eric. I'm calling it right here. little things
I
like
I want to take notes from your notes. I want to like learn more about
them. Please do, because I know way too much. This is knowledge sharing of useless knowledge. So that giggles me to no end. And like I keep noticing little things like that where it's like, oh, they are, it's like Marvel and DC back in the day. They're just ripping each other off. Like, this is amazing.
I mean, they're fighting for Monday night, aren't they?
Like, yeah, at this point, that's why it's the war. Yep. So like at this point, we're 28 episodes in, so the war is just beginning. It hasn't kicked off, but the blood hasn't really started to flow yet, so to speak. It is funny though, because like I was about to say the one thing they can't rip off is Pepe, but Raw had a dog too this week, so I can't even say that. But it's not Pepe. Obligatory Pepe talk. Pepe is some sort of delightful wizard this week. He's a little chihuahua. And he's all dressed up, and I love him so. So I just had to say.
It's the chihuahua. I saw the bloodhound.
Though there's a chihuahua on Nitro in the commentary booth. Mongo McMichael has a pet chihuahua who sits on his lap, and every week he dresses him in something else. And I
totally
you spaced somehow, Pepe.
No, I like
that's amazing.
You asked me, and as before you said that, I did not realize. And then in my memory, I'm going back through everything, and it's like some big thriller reveal where like there's Chihuahua in every single shot because it was there.
Pepe was there. That's amazing. Pepe is I'm sure obligatory Pepe talk, but I don't care. I love him and he's gonna be gone soon. So I'm treasuring these moments. Yeah, his dad's gonna start wrestling instead of commentating, and time will tell if that's a good idea. But as far as the intro, before anything can really get delighted for me about Pepe, Bobby Heenan is talking about how everyone's got straps, and I giggle because I have the humor of a child. And then Mongo regales us with tales of his childhood abuse, and now it's Jim Duggan time. Ho!
Every single time I heard straps, I made a note.
Are you serious? Okay. Yes. All right.
So, I will be like Road Warriors and the Nasty Boys. 6-man double strap match. Talk about lumberjacks all around the ring. They all got straps. 6 men in the ring. They all got straps. That is direct from my notes.
I am so happy, Ren, because mine too.
And then I list out the one, Hulk Hogan, the Booty Man, Macho Man, Randy Savage, Lumberjacks. Strap. With 5 exclamation points.
Kiddo just saw Mean Girls for the first time, and it's like, say crack again, but strap. Say strap again. Excellent. But yes, we will get to the strap off. In the meantime, though, Jim Duggan, God love him, is going to be facing the giant. It's Captain Insano, kids. I don't know if you caught that, if you were ever a Waterboy fan. Back in the day, but that also giggles me every week. I don't mention it every week, but I want everyone to know I'm thinking it every week. Just know in my brain, yes, he's the giant, he's Paul White, but no, he's always Captain Insano to me.
Okay. So I have a question.
Yes, about please.
This giant, because they said 7'4", and so I'm like, oh, it's Andre the Giant. Then I remembered he died in 93.
Correct.
I'm unfamiliar with this 7'4" wrestler. Is that a real height?
That is absolute. That is probably at this point a real hype for him. They might have jacked it up an inch or two, because they always do, and they always jack the weight up a little bit. But no, his name is Paul White. He is a legit giant.
Oh, he's only 7'2".
All right, yeah, so they jacked it. He has the same like condition as Andre the Giant. So, like, he is a legit giant.
Yeah.
The difference is that when he was about 27, he got the surgery to remove the tumor to stop the problem.
Oh.
Andre didn't. So Andre just kept getting bigger until he died, basically. It's what killed him. I'm guessing you're asking, are these two related in it?
Not really. I just wanted to make a commentary on how I was expecting a wrestler called the Giant to be Andre the Giant. I'm in the wrong year.
Longtime listeners will know Eric Bischoff and the folks at WCW wanted that from Rem. Up until recently, they were trying to tell us that he was Andre the Giant's kid, which is just madness. He is very much not Andre the Giant. He doesn't even have a French accent. But that's why they dressed him up like he's wearing Andre the Giant's singlet. Yeah. Like, it's very much them trying, because Hulk Hogan is in WCW now, and Hulk Hogan has one idea, and it worked once early in the 80s, and him and Vince have been just riding that idea into the ground for going on 4 decades now. But in the early 90s, he took that idea to WCW, and he's like, you need to feed me large men, and I will win, and then we all get money. and we need to do it very loudly, so on Monday night, so Vince knows that I'm not mad and I don't miss him, basically. So, like, that's why the giant is the giant, is because Hulk Hogan's like, get me a giant. And they're like, all right, we'll straight up get you a fucking copy of the guy that you made a bunch of money with in the 80s, because the real one's dead, basically. Yeah, Hulk Hogan is a sad, sad, sad piece of shit, little man. And Yeah. Well, good portion of my fun of this show is reminding everybody. But yeah, Duggan tries to beat up the giant early, as you would if you're going against a giant. But he shakes it off like the monster that he wants everyone to think he is. Bobby says that Duggan looks like Bob Newhart compared to the giant. And, you know, I forgot about the episode of Newhart where Bob is just jacked. I watched a lot of Nick at Night as a kid, but I missed that one. there appears to be a distraction in the audience and, like, people putting up these huge 1-900 number signs about Brian Pillman. Call Brian.
I didn't know what that meant, but I wrote it down.
And he seemed to, like, people seemed to be actually pissed about it. And then Pillman actually was, like, starting shit with people and getting in fans' faces, and he got taken out by security. Now, I didn't do any research here, Rem, because I'm not what people would call a professional. I just know a lot about this stuff and have watched a bunch of shoot interviews. And I know around this time, Pillman is trying to get fired. Now, I probably will, you know, backwardsly release this episode and then look this up. I think no, that order. Thank you. Thank you for understanding my process, right? I think that he legit got a 900 number and set it up for people to call to try to hire him away. Oh, I think that was a shoot. I think that security got rid of him because he was legit doing something against the company on live TV to try to get someone to hire him and get him fired. I think that that's what happened. I think that might have been the end of Brian Pillman in WCW.
A shoe? I heard you say that. That's a thing that's real.
A shoot. Yeah, a shoot. A shoot is something that's real. A work is something that's kayfabe.
Oh.
It's carny talk. Basically. So like that's what they would say. So like, now in the modern parlance, everyone kind of uses it to be like, you know, kayfabe. A work is something that's in storyline. A shoot is something where they're pulling something that they weren't supposed to be doing. I think this might have been a shoot. His whole thing is that he's building up this character of being a loose cannon. He gets fired from here and ends up going to ECW, which is like the indie hardcore blood and beating women and fucked up shit in Philly. Whole other thing. It's some of it's amazing. Some of it I go, oh God. but he goes and does that for a while and to get WWF to kind of pick him up. It's more complicated than that, but, you know, we'd be trying to keep it to like an hour and a half here. But basically, he's playing the long game, and I think this was part of that. So I was really see, even if it was a huge distraction, I don't know, it's like a strike. The distraction is, it's supposed to be disruptive, damn it. but back in the ring, Duggan is getting hugged to death. Again, this might fix me. The crowd starts a USA chant to power him up. It unleashes his combo break, which is just biting the giant's nose, which made me very happy. they let us know that Jim's dad broke his hip. He's a former cop, and Bobby says he broke it reaching for a glazed donut. That pleases me. Mago says some broken window shit about how the cops won't help him now, and I'm like, that's abuse, kids. If the cops only serve you, if you serve them, that's abuse, not safety. Write that down. Write that down. Say it again in the back. If I disappear, it's been nice knowing you guys. Before long, Jim is getting hugged again, but he America's up, trying to break it again. But it's useless. Giants no selling. Fuck them. So Jim's got this thing where he likes to tape his fists. I don't understand it. It's like a part of his gimmick. It's a thing going back to Irish, like bare knuckle boxing. It's a thing, I guess, but like it's getting out of hand. It's the only gimmick he has besides going ho in America, which works for him. I love Jim Duggan. But to me, it got out of hand here because he just gets knocked out and he rips up duct tape off the floor and wraps his fist in to finally knock the giant down.
That's illegal. He can't do that.
He can't do that, but the ref is just like, I mean, I guess it's fine. He's a giant. You know, like, whatever. So he does that. Unfortunately, though, fucking Jimmy Hart grabs the tape and distracts him, and it's enough for a choke slam from Captain Insano, and that's the end of that, as it will be.
So Jimmy Hart is the guy with the super cool jacket, right?
Yes, he is the guy with the megaphone, does like the airbrushed jackets.
Yeah. I put him down as quintessential 90s manager.
Yes. Still like,
I
yes,
also thought the back of his coat said, wow. Oh, sorry. I should have spaced that out.
No, that's fine. Also, back, that's all those things are amazing and very much true. But all I was going to say is, like, when you say he's like the quintessential 90s manager, he literally is that guy. Like, at this point, like, he is the archetype for that shit. And he's still around. So, like,
and then I have something about someone who can relate to.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Who I think is also an archetype. Now that you said that, it's still hard to tell what's like standard setting and what's copying.
It's so wild. No, that's the wonderful space that is this era of wrestling. That's why I'm rewatching it. We come back from commercial and get a replay of Pep Boys Power Pin of the Week. That made me giggle because both shows this week had a segment that were like pins of the week. And I just think that's like, it's again, that thing of like, are they copying each other? Did they coordinate or did they just show up in the same dress? I don't know. But we come back to tag team action. It's supposed to be the Nasty Boys, which I'm kind of sad you missed the Nasty Boys, Rem. I feel like you would really dig the Nasty Boys. The thing is that they're boys and they're nasty. And it's really awesome. But instead we get the fucking Steiner Brothers on motorcycle.
Don't worry, though. There's this man double strap man coming up with Big Brother Lumberjacks all around the ring.
There's booty men, there's lumberjacks, and everyone's strapped to the gills, folks. This is the straightest thing that's ever happened, and that does not sound like a party I want to go to. Sarcasm. Anyways, this is another classic WWF act showing up on Nitro. So, like, the continues. These guys jumped ship. They left WWF. They got fired. They went to Japan for a while and were just killing it, and now they're here. So this is kind of a big deal. And we get Steiners versus Road Warriors. Just wrote down, this match is going fuck so hard. Because, like, all these guys are really, really good at this shit. But sure enough, like, a minute in, we get a belly-to-belly suplex from Scott Steiner that I just accidentally wrote as Scoot Steiner here, and I'm never going to say it correctly again. I am so sorry. That's a tangent. The point is, the move was terrifying. but yeah, that's what this is going to be. Like, a lot of power moves that shouldn't physically be possible because all of these guys are just loaded with steroids, Rem. The sheer tonnage of human growth hormone in this ring right now is just wild. Like barrels of it.
So before we move on from this fight, I do have two things.
Oh, yes.
So just let Please just do. Okay. So apparently I wrote down, what if we held hands next to my dick? And we were both wrestling. And also when you try to put him on the ropes, but he spin you pretty princess style.
Okay, so I might. You're real good at note taking, Rem. Like, I'm going to hire you for my notes because that's more important than the next, like, bunch of lines I had. That's really it. I mean, I had all this stuff, but I don't even feel like saying it anymore. It's like you said it all. No, that's so good. No, I'm kidding. Fuck yes. But yeah, there's a lot to this match, but it doesn't need to be long-winded. The guys with the spiky shoulders are known for looking stiff, aka like just really hitting you. And at one point, there's like a boot that just looks like it took the skin off of Scoot Steiner's face. Oh my, holy crap. But this match did indeed fuck. Like, everybody should watch this, even though everyone involved in this match was a terrible human, probably. Unfortunately, two of them are still alive to let us know that they're terrible people. Rick Steiner, the barky boy with the earmuffs, is a transphobic piece of shit. So, like, that's great. To that I say, let them work stiff. I want to know that everyone in there is going to, like, be aching from this match. That's fine with me. And it's good. It's an amazing match. Everyone gets a lot of great shit in. There's a lot of, like, trading of doomsday devices, which is that, like, finisher where they get the guy up on the shoulder. And, like, that's always going to make me happy. It is cooking.
I do love it.
Right? Like, I like teamwork. I also love
the, like,
bear hug backflip is how I wrote it down.
That's
where they get him in the bear hug and then they just do like a half backflip and sling him.
That's the belly-to-belly overhead suplex. Scooter Boy Steiner got, like, two of those in this match, and one of them I wrote down was just perfect, like, terrifyingly perfect. Again, just, like, defies all logic because the man is more steroid than human. if we're done here, do yourself a favor and look up Steiner math. that's that guy. He is... not okay. He is a scary, scary individual in real life. Like, everyone's just, he's just a walking void rage. But, you know, he does shit like this. And it's like, it's pretty great. The ending itself, the Steiners get the top rope bulldog, which is like their version of the Doomsday device that they always use. So that was going to win it. But then Animal just hits him in the face with a spike shoulder pad behind the ref's back. That's good enough for the three. Like, what a fucking match. That really pleased me. Y'all need, if you don't watch along, you should, for that kind of stuff. But yeah, now it's exposition time with Mean Gene, so I get...
Yeah, but the is the six-man double strap match.
All right. Hey, thank you for keeping up the strap count. I think we're like, we're four or five. Do we times it by six every time?
Yes.
There's six? Okay.
Actually, 12.
Oh, shit, because there's lumberjacks, too. Oh, and it's... oh, fuck me. Well, no, I think that... oh, wait. It might be... there's just so many straps. Everyone gets a dong, folks. So this is great. Scott gets on the mic, and I strap in for some fucking... he does not disappoint. sure enough, nothing really happens in this segment. He just talks and no thing. We're told about the pay-per-view that will have... is in one match, and I've never seen a company so eager to jump a shark, but Hulk Hogan, baby. Hulk Hogan. The man who has never met a shark he couldn't jump, basically. but the next man
ripping his shirt work for several decades, didn't he?
He's still trying. He got booed on Raw. That is gonna be giving me life. He came out on the first Raw on Netflix to try to hawk his bullshit woke beer. Anti-woke beer, and the entire LA crowd booed the fucking fuck out of him. It was brilliant.
Yes.
Just straight right to the veins. Put me in, I need a drip. That's good. The other thing that is good, in 1996, Das Wunderkind, Alex Wright, comes out to
his
music. Yeah, I love him. He's so good. And Lex Luger, who's also
I am like, okay, like two things. I missed the spiked arm pad. I just wrote, I'm gonna stab you in the eye with a foreign object.
There you go. Yeah.
Announcer at 1.5 reminds me of horse races. but he's another guy who got copied, right? Me, like, I feel like I've seen like the checkered suit and the...
yes, you good call. Rem, you have an eye for this fake sport, let me tell you. No, Mean Gene is another one of those guys who, when you think of the mic out in the crowd kind of guy that they do, everyone is doing Mean Gene. Mean Gene Okerlund, he's actually originally from my neck of the woods. He came up in the Minnesota territory. So did Bobby Heenan. Well, Bobby's from everywhere, but so did Hulk Hogan, actually. A lot of people came through Minnesota before Vince bought them. I don't think we see or hear him at all very much on Raw, but there's an announcer named Howard Finkel, the Fink. And when people think of wrestling announcers, like ring announcers, like the guy who calls the guy to the ring, they're thinking of Howard Finkel. So like, there's a lot of that, and all these guys still have work because that's how this works. You know, like you hire your friends and like you hire what works. So like, everyone loved Gene back in the day. So when he finally got fired because Vince is like, fuck all you old guys, I'm going to get the new generation, I'm going to get new guys in here.
They still
copy. I'm going to be on commentary. They still copy him because he only has the one idea, which is what worked in the 80s, which is Mean Gene and getting a big guy. So he has to find a new Hulk and newer big guys to feed him, which is what Raw is, basically. So, yeah, and then Gene needs work. We'll take Gene. We'll take all these guys that got fired because they're too old. Fuck it. And and in the meantime, they started a war with it, and that's why we're here. But it is what it is. So, like, some of the shit that they give them later in Raw for being, like, the old guys is kind of warranted. Oh, shit. Nope. Cats don't see. All right.
I liked that Das Wunderkind was supposed to have been fighting Johnny B. Bad.
He was supposed to be fighting Johnny B. Bad, but Johnny B. Bad lost his TV title. I took that in my notes as well. And like the TV title was his thing for a while. And now that Lex has it, I'm guessing that Johnny B. Bad is going to be Johnny B. Gone very soon from the company. Yeah, he's gonna show up though in the Fed. He'll show up as with his real name, Mark Marrow, with boxing gloves, because he's a boxer in real life, and he will no longer be pretending to be a black guy. Thank fuck. He'll be back to being Italian.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, that's never good. And his wife will become one of the biggest icons of the era, Sable. Him leaving is actually a big deal. That's a good thing to catch, again, because him being gone is kind of a big deal. Alex Wright's getting some good offense into this match, though, which is kind of weird for me, because I didn't think Luger was going to let him. But Luger is bored. I know, because he's making the Luger noises. Every time anything happens, he makes the Luger noise. It doesn't matter if he's getting hurt or doing the hurting. He makes the, it's like walking, stepping on a Lego. It's very strange. But you know, it's his thing now. And to the point where he even takes a really weak shoulder to the gut and just wow. And I can't. No, Lex, calm down. But Alex gets some really good shit in. It's nice. Bobby tells us he doesn't manage anyone. He's just a broadcast journalist and longtime listeners. Everyone take a shot or something. Sip a soda. Mark it down. Lets us know that he is a real journalist, unlike me. Not at all. But they keep talking about these goddamn lumberjacks.
Oh wait, that match I thought was gonna go different. I can tell because I wrote the twink's gonna fucking win. Also, this is probably brass, but they are wearing very tight clothes.
Extremely
tight. It was mildly distracting at points.
That's normal.
A weird way. And I'm like, I don't, this is a lot of bull.
It's a lot. Yeah, it really, really fucking is. And it just becomes more and more bulge. Between the arms and the crotches, it's just so much bulging going on. And, you know, I can't blame you for thinking the twink was going to pull this one out. He's a hell of a twink. He was doing amazing twink. You know, we got a lumberjack gangbang coming here soon, so you think maybe the twink's going to win one. But
I tell you what I'm reacting to. Six-man double strap match. The lumberjack. And Jimmy Hart's coat has his face on the back, right?
Naturally, yes. Usually. Marvelous. Or whoever he's managing, some combination of the two.
Incredible.
He's got to have just so fucking many of those at this point. Oh my god. I wonder if he reuses them sometimes and the paint's just caked down like an old house. Like he could strip them off and there's different matches under. That's amazing. Someone's got to do archaeology on Jimmy.
Just like an inch thick layer of paint denim. You can't bend it. It moves in a solid piece.
Yeah, he's got to slide it on like a plastic covering for an action figure.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. But yeah, long story short, there's Jimmy Hart fuckery. Alex, even though he's got the prettiest dropkick in the game, gets caught and gets fucked over for three. Mago says he wishes someone would take care of Jimmy Hart, and I find myself a agent of chaos, and his little dog, too, while we have him. We go to commercial with threats of Hogman. At this point, I paused and I made sure to get ready for what was about to go down.
Yes.
So now.
Oh, shit. Is it the straps?
Six man, strapped up, match full of lumberjacks. Let's get the lube. Let's get the snacks out on the table. Don't forget to hydrate, folks. folks. And first out, Flair and the Horsemen. And I love that this is still the era, too. Because as they come out, I'm like, I'm supposed to care about Flair, but all I can see Jacks are actual. It's only right. And, like, I don't know if you noticed, but the Blue Bloods, the, like, only half of them are actually English, but they're supposed to be, like, the English nobody team are wearing, like, flannel with the fancy frilly scarf.
Oh, my God.
And, like, this is campy that knows that it's camp, and I love it. As a Raw that doesn't realize that it's camp. We'll get to that later. but for now, camp that is, again, unaware of itself. Macho Man Hogan and Ed Leslie. And it's a clusterfuck immediately. Big Booty Brothers here. He can't even get strapped up, and the Lumberjacks are already fighting each other. Hogan is whipping Rick in the corner, and Eric says, "We are strapping away, and I will not let this bit die."
No.
Like, never, ever let it die. But yes, Arn and Hogan and Boston Bob, Kevin Sullivan, versus the Mega Booty Powers in a 12-minute fuck-off, is what I put down. Bobby says they are whipping his booty hole, and I'm just dying. It's not fair.
Right.
You can't just say that shit on TV, Bobby. I'm trying to do a serious podcast and be taken seriously as a professional. But this is so gay and kinky, and I'm cackling. And then only then do I notice that the booty man is wearing assless pants.
I thought that was his bit. I'd never encountered him before. So I just assumed this was a normal costume.
I mean, not a lot of people. We all are just encountering him the first couple weeks. He used to be called the Zodiac, and I refer to him as Texas Senator Ted Cruz. And before that, he was Brutus the Barber Beefcake. So this is just a new thing, and like the best they could come up with is pink tights, assless pants, booty man. You're the booty man. as if there wasn't enough fucking ridiculous bullshit going on, Bobby points out that technically a strap match has rules. Like, a strap match is supposed to be a thing where you're strapped to your opponent, and you have to beat them up so badly that you can drag them from each corner to corner and tap each corner in succession. Holy that's shit. The rules of... That's not this. This is just a violence orgy with this.
Yeah.
This is not, like, this isn't a strap match. This is just...
Lumberjack wailing weird... on each other with the strap.
Yeah, just... It's just straps strapping away in a strappy... Lumberjacks everywhere. There's bears. There's twinks. Everything's otters. Great. There's otters. Yeah, so many otters. There's mullets that should be on lesbians. And I'm just really, it's all so confusing. And if there wasn't enough going on, they just cut to Kimberly in a really killer fit with some roses. Just cuz.
Right? It's like, is this gonna, I couldn't figure that out. I also did not understand what a lumberjack was at first. I thought it was like a wrestling term.
Yes, it is. So a lumberjack match is when you have a match where you get a bunch of other wrestlers to get around the ring, and if anyone gets tossed out of the ring, you
and
beat
they
the
were
shit
dressed
out
as
of
lumberjacks
them.
As a joke.
This is so wrestling has a long history, Ren. Point. Slides glasses back up face. Like for a long time, yeah, you just dressed them as lumberjacks. Bit and it was like a lumberjack match, and like it was just wrestling used to be even campier, gayer before television, believe it or not.
And
it's been going on since like the turn of the couple centuries ago at this point. So like, yes, this is actually, believe it or not, culture for us wrestling fans. But it goes away soon. The lumberjack match lasts for a while, but they don't always dress them like lumberjacks. So it really made me giggle. But like, this is just, nothing really goes on. Hogan does find a way to put himself all the way over and make himself look unbeatable. He gets outside amongst the lumberjacks and just kicks all their asses as per his contract. and there's like a funny bit that I did need to take note of. Ric Flair is doing a pose for the fans. And Hogan sneaks up and just, like, slides the strap on his wrist so they're connected. And he's just like, oh, man, like a toddler whining at the mall, getting a leash put on. And I'm like, poor kid. The difference, though, I have sympathy for the sympathy
player. Right.
Yeah. But this is just everyone hitting each other. And then out of nowhere, Hogan gets his shit in and he does the big boot. And he drops his leg on Flair for the three. And it's like the most anticlimactic shit ever.
And the whole time they're promising uncensored, unsanctioned, unauthorized, exclusively on pay-per-view.
Yes, that's the next pay-per-view, uncensored, and telling us how it's going to be even wilder than this because it's crazy and there's no rules to any of the matches and there's going to be big gimmicks and rings, and we'll see how that goes on Patreon. Patreon.com/MN. where we watch those things. But yes, that it's not the greatest commentary this week. They're doing a lot of what I think of as fed WWF behavior, where they're like just not doing as much play-by-play as they are selling the next show.
Yeah.
Which is usually Raw's whole deal. But that being said, sure. There was not a whole lot for them to call this match. It was bullshit. But they make up for it, Ren, because the Horsemen run, Hogan chases right after, and then Mongo lets the whole game away. Everything that we've been talking about all night, he has a flip that confirms this. I pause the fucking show. He says, is he going to chase them back to the bedroom, the locker room, and whip them till their clothes come off? And I'm like, Mongo, baby, do you need do you want to talk about it? Like, it's okay. Your time's going to come. That closet's going to come down. It's going to be okay. Jesus. This was a weird week of Nitro. You got a weird one, Rem. That match was, whatever. I'm thankfully wrong, though, because I noticed on the time there's still 5 minutes left. I'm like, okay, we're going to get Hulk and Macho having scream talk couples therapy with Mean Gene. I need a bigger coffee. They do this a lot. I was wrong, though. It's scream therapy with Boston Bob, my high school homeroom teacher, and a platinum blonde walking bag of cocaine. This is going to be silly. It's the Horseman. Kevin Sullivan does his thing. Bad, bad Duncan's, fuck you, and moves on. Gene waves Arn over, and woman comes out to the ring to be devious and amazing. I love her. Arn starts... What? Go ahead.
What was her name?
Woman. Her name is literally Woman. She is one of the best to ever do it. I love her. Her name in real life is Nancy. At this point, Sullivan, she's actually Boston Bob's wife in real life. For now, she will very soon. That will change. She's going to leave Bob for an up-and-coming wrestler named Chris Benoit. This is where it gets dark, if you know anything about wrestling. What woman ends up marrying Chris Benoit and dying at his hand. It's one of the darker things that has ever happened in wrestling, and we have to really talk about it all because it's all happening right here. Kevin Sullivan, Boston Bob, as I call him, he's the guy who's he's the guy who's like writing all of this and saying who wins and who loses. Mm-hmm. He does what the Carney folks would call working himself into a shoot. He writes a story where woman leaves him for Chris Benoit in kayfabe, and then it happens in real life. Oops. Kevin Sullivan is also a abusive piece of shit, so I have no bad feelings for him. All my bad feelings are for Nancy Kidd. It really sucks. So, like, but yes, her name is just Woman, and she is amazing. She just comes out there, looks awesome, and does devious things like that. She's fucking awesome. I'm so happy that we get to see some of her and all that during this Nitro run, because she's been around for a while. Like, she's a veteran at this point. And she's just so good. Then Arn starts talking about his God, and a second later he's, and I am dying. You got the gayest week that has happened in at least a month.
Excellent.
Flair decides he's done with this weirdness. Well, not quite, actually. I do want to say that Arn says that Rick and him are gay married to Hulk and Macho, and then he's asking God for an annulment. That's very important, in as many words. Yeah. But yeah, then Flair just kind of slurs and screams about Woman and Hogan and Savage, and he struts a bit, and the crowd woos, and like, I don't know if you know much about Ric Flair, but he is technically, people like to call him probably one of the best to ever do it. But this is literally just what 90s Flair was like. Is this. He's a walking bag of cocaine. I'm not even mad. It's because it's hilarious to me. Like, how? why, when? I love wrestling. Why is this a thing? Why do
2 seconds?
Why do people love this guy so fucking much? He lost the plot within 4 words and then just started walking about it. Real angry walking.
Walking off.
Walking it off so hard. A woman tells everyone that he has Randy's woman, who is Miss Elizabeth, because he did steal Randy's ex-wife at this point. Again, the whole episode of itself. it's all soap opera at this point. That has been going on for decades. These guys have decades of history. Much like One Life to Live, it just keeps going and going and going. So yeah, then Rick sings that he has the whole world in his hands, which is wild. Rest in peace, Bray Wyatt. That's again a whole other episode. We go to the boys in the booth to send us off, and I was like, all right, cool. And as has been happening every week for like a month and a half now, Rick shows up. He's not done. Like a goddamn jump scare. Like you think you've killed the killer and then he comes back. One more just screaming Hogan until we end with Bobby doing a fantastic woo on Nitro. So yes, what any overall thoughts on Nitro?
So having watched it second and at 1.5 speed.
Naturally. Yes, please.
It was awesome. because and then I slowed it down. At some points, because I needed to see something again. Yeah. And it just felt so slow. Kind of dancing.
Kinda, yeah. And it sort of is. It's improv too much at this point in time. Like, they're really calling it in the ring. So I saw one of your posts, your skeets about you know, this is...
the most muscled of ballerinos.
Yes, exactly. And, more importantly, how did people not know this was fake? To that point, they did. They absolutely knew it was fake. And, that, they just bought into the lie? That's the fun of it?
That's the fun. Yeah.
Is you go to it and you go, yeah, we're going to pretend that this is real and it's fun. But what's crazy is that because of how cutthroat the business was for, 60, 70 years in the very early days of this, keeping kayfabe was seen in the business amongst the boys and such as super important, because if you broke kayfabe, someone could leak it to the press, and then all of a sudden people who, let's say, maybe didn't realize that it was fake, which further back then it was more of a thing where they were trying to make it more understood, because it started as real fights that then they decided they make more money throwing the fight and getting people betting on it. And then after a while, people caught on to that, and then it just became well, all right, we're in on it, you know, it's still fun. So we'll still buy your ticket. But the problem is that because of that and the attitude of these fucking assholes, because this industry has always been assholes, is that they literally call wrestling fans marks. Like they're getting something over. Like they're getting something over on us. And that mentality meant that, you know, if it got leaked, more often than not, what actually got leaked is people being disrespectful to the fans and calling them marks and shit and saying, yeah, of course it's fakes. And that pissed people off. There's a real example of this I talked about on an earlier episode. And that hurt the business for a while. So because of that, they really closed ranks and said, we got to keep kayfabe because it could actually legitimately hurt business. But what's fun about that is that it got so drilled into these people over decades of working that way that by the time period we're watching for this show, you got wrestlers who are taking it more seriously and real than the audience is. And the wrestlers really think they're getting it over. Some of them really think that they're still getting it over on these people and that people really do still kind of think it's real.
Yeah.
And they're holding on to that. And it creates this weird flip around of the dynamic, you know, and it creates this tension after a while between the product and the people consuming it. Because we're going to see a lot of that in the next, you know, coming years of doing this show, because that's what this era is where those lines begin to really fully break down. And Vince says, no, we're just going to say it's entertainment, and we're going to stop trying to say we're pulling the wool over your eyes, and we're going to stop, you know, pretending that you're stupid, basically, is how he puts it. And that's the era we're coming to. But right now, all these older guys are still working under that thing that it's still real to me, damn it, you know?
Right.
which kind of, I don't know, context for what you're seeing, you know? Because I saw a thing like, you know, it slows down and it's obviously fake and like, well, yeah, but, you know, some people really want to believe it. And at this point, some of the guys working it want to kind of believe it, too, to a certain extent. See Hulk Hogan and the fact that he cannot lose. And if he does lose, it's a big deal and he's got to get it back. Like, he believes his own shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Kayfabe was, like, pretty easy for me to understand as a concept, I think, because there are parallels in, like, sex work is a big kayfabe industry.
Oh, but, for sure.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. It's the public persona and your non-public persona, you know, like, and that's very much it. And like, these guys are just, for most of it, and some of them in modern wrestling still hold that ethos to a certain extent because it's part of the fun and they stay in character anytime they're in public. MJF, Maxwell Jacob Freeman. Total piece of shit, but he's our piece of shit. His character is that he's a piece of shit. So, like, when you see him, he's like, when, like, people come to signings and shit, he's, like, mean to kids. And stuff. Because that's his character, you know?
Right.
And, like, not everyone does that anymore because everyone's like, no, we know it's fake. We're online, you know? Like, I'm going to be a real person. And but some people still choose to be like, no, I'm going to do it like the old guys and maintain kayfabe. And it's fun. It's like, you can do it either way. But we're coming into that liminal time where it changes. And a lot of it because of Raw. Because, I mean, as we're about to get to, you can't... What Raw is right now is not tenable. It's a lot. So yeah, why don't we get into Raw? Because it is a lot. Raw. Raw.
So I love the announcement.
Which? I love it. Just the announcer?
Oh, I don't know. It just said, I love the announcement. So I'm guessing the cube and the, like, for 50 years.
Oh, yeah. Revolutionarily forcing things on us for 50 years. Yes.
Yes.
And then, in the name of sports entertainment.
WrestleMania. I also think it's incredible. It's the best of the 90s. I believe those are my thoughts on the open.
Yes, it really is. Mine was, we start with Undertaker and Yokozuna about to kiss in the middle of the ring. Like, which is one of my favorite pastimes in wrestling. And then shitty, growly Vince Wu. But more importantly, when we actually get to the wrestling, it's Savio time. Let's go.
I didn't Los know Bloody Vince Blood. McMahon sounded like that. So when I heard him, I was like, that's Vince McMahon?
That's Vince McMahon, and it's bad. He sucks. He's not good at this. He's like the worst commentator. But he gave him, he's the boss. He gave himself the job. But yes, that's him. That's what he sounds like. Just, yeah, pal. And
on purpose or like on accident?
No, on purpose. He's tried very hard to sound like that. As you will continue
his poor throat.
Right, but you continue to read Josie's book and you'll find out that, yeah, he's very much trying to affectate away from the fact that he's from, like, South Carolina. Like, he doesn't want anyone to know that he wants to be, like, the Connecticut, New York guy, but he's not. so he's just the fakest motherfucker to do it, and he thinks that this is what people want, is over the top, and he does, like, this thing where he'll pretend to yell, and, like, he's trying to yell over the roar of the crowd, but it's not there. He's just the sickest, saddest little man, and I make myself watch this every week for the people.
Hey, now that's Elon Erasure.
Oh, sickest. Yeah. Stuff. Oh God, but they're still both alive, and they're still both doing their shit neck too. Neck and neck. In the but yes. where was I? I got distracted thinking thoughts. Two guys taking up all of the hard cam with signs that read Little Heart Bear and We Copy WWF. I want to let you know, as someone who isn't a wrestling fan, Ram, I also don't fucking understand what the hell this is. I don't know what they were going for. But this leads me to posit a thought that I've had. And we have the posts with us. So I figured this is kind of a thought for you. I posit that what we see as sign culture in wrestling, this is an early iteration of it, is early forms of posting, because they know they're going to be on national TV. They know where the camera is. They got ready for it. And they made these signs to get the message out, broadcast to the people, their little thoughts. I don't think we're ever going to. I think maybe two people in the whole world understood what the fuck those guys were talking about. And that, my friends, is a shitpost.
Yes.
Awesome. So that makes sense to you? I'm not just crazy. Excellent.
It's definitely an early form of posting. Graffiti is also posting.
Graffiti is also posting. Thank you. I could just spend the rest of this time thinking of things that are posting, but my cat wants to fight me. So we're going to try to move on so that I can distract. Yes, I have the toy. Yes, go for the toy. Follow the toy, young child. This is excellent content.
But wrestling crowd signs, definitely posting.
Excellent. All right, I'm knocking that one off the list. Also, sometimes
those the little those letterboard signs, like marquees, those too.
Those are also posting. Yes, I've seen some really good shit posting on a marquee, like famous ones in Minneapolis too. There's been some great examples. But excellent, cool. I can let go of that thought for the rest of this podcasting process, because it presented itself and you were here. So I don't need anyone else's opinion on that. The post told me. Lawler calls the ringmaster Steve Austin, who is in here. He calls him Stone Cold Steve Austin for the first time. You got to witness.
For the first time.
That is the first time anyone has put those four words together on television, basically. And they do it like twice.
I'm imagining like what it must have been like. So I'm watching Steve Austin stand there just staring. And like I'm like, imagine that gig, like just show up half naked, glare, and get your ass kicked or kick ass or both.
I used to help do security at that club. Yeah, it was a great time. And no, that's a valid gig. If you're willing to get your ass kicked, wrestling is a valid fucking gig. Like, it's a great art form. I don't think you make a lot of money, but you know, what do you do with art? You know, none of us make a lot of money.
If they want to die dead broke, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, but sometimes you get to have a couple of queer folk on a podcast talk about how you historically got called something the first time.
And that is like what immortality is. Stuff of legend.
Yeah, take that, Hulk Hogan. That's immortality. Fuck you. The immortal one. My butt. But yeah, Stone Cold is he's been, they're trying to do this thing where he's like a technical guy and he's the ringmaster and he's like a hardcore wrestler and they're ripping off a WCW guy, no surprise there. Name of Dean Malenko, who actually is awesome. It's kind of funny though, because they called Dean Malenko the Iceman and now he's Stone Cold. So they're still trying to make that happen.
Yeah.
But like, he's changing how he looks, because he used to have like peach fuzz hair and no beard, and now he's fully bald with the goatee in full force. And it's like, okay, he's getting it. He's figuring this out. It's pretty great. I'm very happy with this match, because this is an early pairing that I liked when I was a kid. Like, we're starting to get into when I like really started actually watching I was a kid. So like, I was very young, Garrett, very small, very not know anything, very disassociated, you know, the normal. And but I remember this because they're so good. They're really, really, these guys working together, it's making me happy to go back and watch this and realize that this match really is as good as I remember. You know, like, they really were really good together. And it pleases me. But because I am the person that I am, I black out the commentary and all I'm hearing is power level over 9,000. This isn't even Stone Cold's final form. Like, he's not even the full ass kicker yet. Like, this is amazing. I'm just so happy that we get to watch this. And sure enough, the match fucks in a bangerly manner.
Yeah. And it is with full praise. One of my notes, very early notes, is this is with praise the gayest shit I've ever seen.
Do you remember what moment from the match made you think of that?
It happened after an elbow to the ear.
Okay.
So it was really early on.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow, that's pretty gay.
It just kept living up to it.
You know, it just kept going. And it was, these guys work really well together, but it was definitely gay. I had expected
Tweety Bird to show up over their heads, not because of it being, like, gay complimentary, of course. But yes, because, I don't know, it felt more dancey than fighty. Yeah.
Well, they were selling it. That's exactly what we would call, selling. Like, they're acting all goofed and dazed out. And, like, you could absolutely imagine the Tweety Birds over Stone Cold's head. Like, he does that really, really well. Actually, again, you have a good eye for this, Reb. This is absolutely the company to, as opposed to Nitro, where, like, these guys are even more so, like, they're doing good work, but, like, Vince doesn't give a fuck about the wrestling. He just doesn't. He wants everyone to care about anything else except the wrestling. Again, as you continue to read Josie's book, you'll dive into why that is. Mm-hmm. As an example, though, we get a look at baby Mark Henry, the strongest man in the world. He's on his way to the Olympics. Do you know, like, anything at all about Mark Henry?
I do not.
Oh my gosh. All right, I'm going to very briefly just spew info at you because he's the real deal. Oh my God. All right, so I love Mark Henry. I've loved Mark Henry since I was a wee child, like whole genders ago. And like he's, but when they say he's the strongest man in the world, they're not fucking kidding. Like he, this is cool that we're seeing him this young because he's not even become an Olympian yet. He goes to the Olympics and wins. And continues to be like a bodybuilder. He does like strongman competitions. And like for a while there, he was like noted like the strongest man in the world. But he is there as a baby because he loves wrestling. Like he grew up loving this shit. So he is living his dream while Vince McMahon is salivating over the thought of having the world's strongest man, an Olympian, on his roster. He's just like, this is the greatest. I'm going to make so much money. So, like, while there's this amazing match going on, he's just telling us all about Mark Henry, which I'm happy for. But, like, also, it's proof that he just doesn't care about the wrestling. He wants us to care about Mark Henry, which I do, because Mark's awesome. Again, real quick, info dump. They got to the point where it became a part of his gimmick later on, where the boys would be like, "Bet you can't lift that," and they would just get the cameras out and they would all go around and he'd like lift up a fucking truck, like he just lifted.
I love that.
Like, he's the real deal. But I got one more for you and everyone at home because it's my favorite Mark Henry thing. He wasn't really doing the professional, like, competitive weightlifting after a while because he was doing a full-time wrestling career. But he was still calling himself, his gimmick, the world's strongest man. His finishing move was the world's strongest slam. right? Because this is all just comic books. It's so great. But it got to the point where the bodybuilding, like, strongman community, the legit, like, competitive guys, he started to hear word that they were kind of like, they didn't like that he was calling himself that because they're like, well, it's not true anymore. People have broken your records. Like, we don't like that you're calling yourself the world's strongest man, you know, as a gimmick when you're not backing it up. You're old. We're young. We're new. We're guy like you. We beat your shit. You're old news, man. You know, like, basically saying you're old news and you're a fake wrestler, basically. And like, he's like, okay. So he goes to Vince and he's like, Vince, hey, I know we got this big thing going on. And I'm probably going to get a title shot soon. I need to fuck off for like 6 months. And it's like, what? And he's like, no, I need to go. I got to go do a thing. So he left his lucrative job knowing that he could very well probably like lose his job for this. Mm-hmm. And he changed how he trained because training to be a fake fighter is athletic and it's training, but it's a different kind of training, you know? So he went and retrained, rebuilt his body back into a bodybuilding body, went to a competition and shut them all the fuck up, Rem.
Hell yeah.
Go ahead. But like in his later years, theoretically, you know what I mean? Like he came back. It's like Rocky in real life.
I love it. I have a tiniest point of pedantry that might be edifying.
Yeah.
Bodybuilders are typically just visual, and strongmen are the ones that can actually lift and move.
Yeah. No, I should know that difference because I only know because
I used to do figure building.
Yeah. So. That's fucking awesome. No, and I know this because in wrestling, it's a big thing. Like Vince loves bodybuilders. Lex Luger is a bodybuilder who we saw on Nitro. His whole thing, he came over when he came over to the WWF because he was there. He was at WCW, went to WWF, and then went back to WCW where we saw him today. Very complicated. But that's how all this always goes. You know, people get traded, basically. But it's always more drama than that because it's theater kids. They have to be fucking extra around.
Yes.
So there's always rumors and innuendo and people talking shit and people talking shoot interviews decades later.
Denny's dining room at 1 a.m.
Oh, hell yes. So, like, that kind of stuff. But when Lex came over, he wasn't allowed to wrestle. He had, like, a non-compete. So Vince built the whole idea of the World Bodybuilding Federation around giving Lex something to do. Oh, and okay. he created, it was a very short-lived TV show where it was, like, bodybuilding competitively, but all the bodybuilders had gimmicks like wrestlers, and Lex was his star. He was the total package.
Yeah.
So, like, I know more about this shit than I should, but also that's why I have the tendency to say bodybuilder because I watch too much wrestling and it's so fucking entwined. But no, he was a weightlifter. He was a strong man. You know, like he was not a bodybuilder. He was a strong man. So yes, thank you for making that difference. But no, like that's my favorite fact about him ever is that they call him old and like a fake wrestler. And he's like, I'll be right back.
BRB, gotta address something.
Yeah. I gotta go do a thing. And he just came back and I love him. He's one of my favorites. Mark Henry is amazing. From what I can tell, like a really good dude, like he's just a big old teddy bear. He's the first wrestler I ever saw like legit cry on TV. And that's nice, you know, for a young closeted fucking kid. I was like, oh, look, vulnerability. Yay.
Right.
That's good, right? Please? No? Okay, the crushing. All right. But yeah, this is an early example, I think, of Vince trying to reach for, like, actual athletes again, like modern actual athletes. You know, back in the day, pro wrestlers came from being amateur wrestlers, you know, and it was more common. Like, a lot of the big names were guys who had actual real amateur backgrounds. But now, because of his own hand, he got bodybuilders like Hogan and Lex and this kind of and the gimmicks and everything. So like it was different, and like you said, it's clearly fake. You know, he wanted to get more of that realness again, so he started looking for ways to get actual like Olympic athletes to become wrestlers. And Mark Henry is an early example of this. I mean, for lack of a better word, he's like grooming him before the Olympics, basically. Good for Mark, it turns out, because it's funny to use the term, he's a Mark. He's a lifelong fan. Good name for him. So like he's living his dream. That's great. But meanwhile, pretty solid match going on for the Fed at this time, if you ignore the commentary, which is, ugh. But yeah, like Steve and Savio have the crowd eating out of the palm of their hands the whole time. And then it ends with, like, I go into some detail here because this is important, Rem. I can't stress enough how wild it is that this match went this way. But like, what a high spot. Savio sends Steve to the corner and then does a spinning heel kick, basically, straight to his dome. But he's going so hard that he just falls out of the ring himself and is followed by Steve because he's selling the sheer momentum of it, which in itself is like amazing. I haven't seen anything that cool on Raw like since we started the show as far as like a single move sequence that was like awesome. But then it's a double count out. They both get counted out, so it's like they toss the match basically. But what's cool about this is they just keep fighting, and that doesn't always happen. Yeah, and the bell's going, and when it does happen, it doesn't always look this real in the way that like they're at a certain point they stop doing wrestling moves and they're just beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah,
and
I love that they're still calling it.
Yeah, no, they can't help it. They're still like, what a match. They're still calling it like a match. No, like that was all very, they're starting to hit the formula in this moment. And that's why I was like, this is important to take note of. because they're going to get to what is like the worked shoot kind of thing that they come up with where they blur that line. So you don't know if they're actually fighting or not. And we're going to keep calling it so that it seems like this is a real thing.
Yeah.
But and the crowd is on fire and like the sheer need to fight. It's amazing. And Savio is doing a great job. Steve is killing it. Both these guys are on top of it. And this is the start of what becomes a really big feud that I remember from my childhood. And it's really what gets Steve out of his ringmaster gimmick and firmly into his beer drinking ass kicker territory is like the fire and heat and character that he builds by having repeated matches with Savio. It's really cool. Like Savio brings out the best of him. And when that's what makes a great feud, when you have opponents where the chemistry is there, where they like, they just have to kill each other. And like, they bring that out in each other where they can really sell that. Like, I just fucking hate this guy.
Yeah.
Modern example would be Hangman Page and Swerve Strickland. I don't know if you probably don't know those words, but like
those are four words.
Last year, those guys had like a year-long just a blood feud with literal blood, like, and like drinking blood, like at one
point,
like the most violent shit on TV and like pay, like these and but it was all sold on the fact that like they managed to really sell that these two fucking hate each other. They can't be in the same building without wanting to end a life. I mean like Hangman burnt down Swerve's childhood home.
Holy shit.
In kayfabe. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That
uh-huh.
was yeah, in kayfabe.
In Minecraft.
Yeah, in Minecraft. In Minecraft. That's my new kayfabe in Minecraft. But that, I love this shit. And like, oh, I'm so ready. Like, yes, this is going to be amazing. And I, they cut to footage of Jerry getting hurt by Mark Henry. I get my popcorn. I'm ready for this because I hate the
and
king.
His crown fell off. It was funny.
Which and is what should happen to all monarchs.
I agree. I liked that the refs were kind of in on the fight.
A kind of, yeah, a little bit. Well, refs or are very
maybe
important.
Against their will. I just wrote, I love the ref fight.
Yes.
So I don't remember it 100%, but if I recall correctly, they are like trying to get them off of each other, and then it winds up being they're getting fought, and they're fighting back, and
yeah, the ref, it's bonkers. Ref fight. It's a ref fight. They're trying to contain him like a wild animal at this point, you know,
yes.
Like. And like the refs are like the trainers that come out and they very often get bit. It's wonderful. Like Stone Cold's going to have like a whole career based off of him saying, fuck it, I'm going to beat that ref's ass. Like just cause. It's so great though. But yeah, more importantly, I just want to make sure everyone knows if you want to see the king lose his crown and have Mark Henry like beat his shit in with a press slam, this is your episode. Absolutely worth it. 10 out of 10. Love when Lawler gets hurt. but this is important. This part is very important, Rem. I mentioned it to you.
Is it the store?
No, right before the store. Okay. Well, a little bit. We're getting there.
I won't say anything then.
We're getting to the store.
We'll get there. Okay.
This is Rem lore. This is Rem lore. They announced a tag team tournament. And more importantly, they announced the return of a tag team. The Bushwhackers. And Rem, this is New Zealand's own Bushwhackers.
Fucking hell. Okay. All I was saying is it's weird to turn it into a contest for kids. That's all I'm saying. I don't think pest control should be done by children's contests. And people agreed with me in New Zealand, and I still am now banned from the feed for everyone's good. But I take that. I think I won that war.
I think you won the blue sky war on New Zealand. Yes, like much like the emus against Australia, you won that war, Rem. And I hope that our listeners have no fucking idea what we're talking about.
I hope sincerely.
They do. I hope that they have no idea, and I hope that y'all enjoyed this. This is just me and my friend, okay? I know I'm technically you're here. Hi, I love you. Thank you for being here. Rem got canceled by New Zealand, okay? This is what happened. Rem had a controversial take about not killing kittens competitively, and New Zealand canceled them, and that it's fucked up. But
it was so frustrating. No one would listen. Like, we were talking at each other.
Yes.
And I'm like, we actually agree on more than you think. You're agreeing with me right now.
Exquisite. It was just one of the wildest things I ever saw, and the only thing I participated in was letting everyone know that the New Zealand's like greatest cultural output before Lord of the Rings was the Bushwhackers, and just sharing a big picture of these guys. So that's the only mention of them. We're going to get to see them soon, but I was just like, holy shit, the Bushwhackers are here, and it's the REM episode. Fuck
that
yes.
That is very funny.
It really pleased me. Vince tells us we're supposed to get Roddy Piper, but instead we get Gold Dust. Vince acts surprised, but go ahead.
Were we not going to do the store? Because I have thoughts on the store.
The store is coming up yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yes.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm like way ahead in my notes or way behind. I'm struggling to follow along, but I'm doing my best.
Oh my gosh. I am so sorry.
No. It's not your fault at all.
Okay.
I'm basing this off of really bad notes. So I'm like, and you're mentioning things that I didn't note at all.
So it's kind of like I'm matching them up. I gotta tell you, I'm having a blast with the note. Okay, we're at a section. This is what I wrote down. Let's see if we can figure out what I meant by this.
Yes.
That this is one of my favorite types of episodes around. This is great. This is moi. but yeah, I was confused because Vince literally told us earlier that this was happening, but now he acts surprised that Goldust is here. But more importantly, it's Goldust. I don't know if you're very familiar with Goldust, but Rem, I'm happy to give you Goldust. It's Goldust. He's a drag queen. He likes movies. That's his whole thing. And gold.
Fair.
Right? Unfortunately, though, the queer bashing is imminent. So, almost mercifully, now it's time for Raw QVC.
Yes. Yes. And we come in on this, like, wall with a door, and we swoop, and it is the finest of computer graphics from the year 1996, and it is the most beautiful thing, and we open up on two people wearing the most amazing jacket I've ever seen. It's horrible. It fits terribly, and I love it. And I need it.
Nope. And they keep doing this. They keep giving me denim jackets that I need. And I don't often need denim jackets, but these ones, holy shit, what the fuck?
It has the wrestlers on the sleeves and then the big on the back. It says WrestleMania. I fucking love it.
It's so good. And it's in the 20th Century Fox logo because it's going to be in LA. So it's just like, it's also good. Unfortunately, the phone number, no longer active, I'm told.
Yeah, they only made 3,000.
Yeah, oh, that's another thing. There's only 3,000 of them. They were numbered on the front, which I thought to be kind of tacky.
A little tacky.
I'm not gonna lie. But what
imagine getting 3,000 of 3,000. I guess that's the only one that's almost impressive. I got the last one.
Right? For me, it's more, imagine spending $140 in modern money for that denim jacket.
Yes, but $69 then and only three easy payments of $22.95. I noted that $69 is a good deal for a denim jacket that's custom like that now.
It is. But then I think about how poorly that thing must have been made. There's no fucking way that was a quality product.
Oh, God, no.
No, Vince, if there's one thing Vince will not do, it's put out quality product. It's against his ethos. Cripes. And now we get Roddy coming out, and he is smoldering.
God.
Goldust has done a gay at him, and I have to admit he's kind of good at what he does, which is being an asshole.
I liked, there was one insult I liked. You look like someone shot the curtains at the dais.
Yeah. Yes.
Was not expecting a word like deus.
That's pretty fucking solid. It's funny because I thought he said shot the curtains at the Days Inn, but both work. So either way, he had that one. And he's just doing a bunch of transphobia. He calls Dustin a fruitcake. But meanwhile, Dustin has gone full puppy girl. He is crawling on the mat. Lawler makes a birdcage joke and it falls flat because that movie is a fucking treasure, Jerry. It's a fucking treasure. He pierced the toast, Jerry. get on it. But, you know, 90s folks, we love the fact that Roddy just says transvestite. We love it, don't we? Everything is great. My childhood was wonderful. Like, I don't know about you. But if y'all want to help with the therapy for that, that's going to be patreon.com/MNFFI. But yes, he calls Dustin a cream puff, and as a Minnesotan, my ears perk up, because we got good ones around here, don't you know? So I'm just like, hell yes, cream puff, I want the goodness. But I already liked Gold Dust. At this point, he doesn't have to sell me anymore. He keeps going, though. He reminds us that he has hate-crimed before, and he'll do it again. Adrian Adonis was a previous version of this Goldust character, because this is a trope, Rem, where we take a straight guy, we pretend he's gay, and everyone yells at him for being gay. Adrian Adonis did this before, the gay for heat thing. And in Mexico, we talked about it with Arturo Garcia a while back. They had Los Exoticos, and it's like a whole type of lucha where you get these guys who very often were, you know, queer in real life, but not always, and they would go out and they would play it up for laughs, and they would eventually lose to the big manly man until Cassandra came around and was like, no, I'm gonna be so good at this that I'm going to make them laugh with me instead of at me, and love me so much that I can't lose or they'll boo you, and like changed the game, basically.
Love that.
Right, there's a whole movie about him. He still works the indies, like Cassandro is still around. Just a fantastic old gay man. And check anything out about him. I love him. Including our previous episode with Arturo Garcia. but like Goldust ends up kind of doing that. Because everyone's booing at him, everyone's cheering the manly Roddy, even though he's saying it's not about sexuality, he calls himself a lesbian, and honestly, the haircut kind of sells it. I had to take no, I was like, okay, you got me there, Piper. But Piper, it's awful. But Goldust,
the whole time I was like, this guy has to be the bad guy here, right? Like, he was so shitty. And the answer is no, not at all.
No, and apparently. He was so shitty. Like, he really just, as
how many quarters did you earn? That one was fucked.
Oh my fucking God. Yeah. No, like he went all out. And like, honestly, that's why I say he's kind of the best to ever do it, because that's what a good heel does, but just so happens that the subject matter is some fucked shit. And Vince is ultimately the one who has final say on all this. And to quote the man himself, that's good shit, pal. he loves that. Like, fuck yeah. But whatever. Finally, Piper tries to switch it up from bashing to saying that he's making a mockery of the IC title, which I'm going to say, okay, it's made up. First of all of it's made up, but the IC title in particular was super made up. They just needed a new title, so they pretended that Pat Patterson won a fake tournament in Brazil and that's so prestigious and just gave it to him. So like, okay, whatever, dude. But now Dustin gets his retort and I just get happy because I know how good Dusty is at this. First of all, Marlena, his IRL wife, his valet, that's his real wife Terry, watches her guy do his shit and just smokes that stogie. And I'm just like, this is all, again, it's getting queerer, it's getting kinkier. I am back in my wrestling happy space. Dustin ends up on his knees quickly. Fantastic Goldust. I do love me a kilt. I understand. But you know, maybe not on Piper. Then Goldust invites Roddy to his back lot, which is lovely, lovely stuff for what is ostensibly children's television still. Roddy is no selling it like a priest getting a lap dance. Like, he's trying to really be taking the higher ground here. But finally, like, they get to the stare down, and now more than ever, I'm just like, now Kith, like, do it. And then they get to the shoving, the crowd's behind the manly man for now. Again, eventually Goldust gets them to love him. But yeah, it's kind of a masterclass in 90s lack of class. like, yeah. That's the best way I could put it. Piper slaps the shit out of him, says it's on for the backlot brawl at WrestleMania. Everyone's happy, I guess.
And then there's a dog.
There is a doggo. We got our Wa Pepe. It was that what it would be? Wa Luigi for Pepe? Wa Pepe? Yeah. It's a
in the ring.
In the ring, yes. In the ring, there's the Bloodhound coming out with the Godwins.
Yes. What is the dog's name? It's vitally important. Is it Hillbilly Jim? Because that's what I thought.
No, Hillbilly Jim is the guy walking the dog. Which is unfortunate. I don't remember the dogs. I think they said it at one point and I did not write it down, but you know what? I bet you it's a Wikipedia away, because Wikipedia, all kinds of wrestling stuff on there. I could have gone to college. I did this instead. But it's there for you if you ever need it, as it was there for me. Right. It makes me giggle if they come back from commercial with a replay, but it's set to the bluegrass music. Here's this hate crime again, but it's a hoot nanny. The juxtaposition really did it for me. Just whiplash. Yeah. The gayest thing I've ever seen. And now here we go. The Godwins are here. Phineas I. Godwin and Henry O. Godwin, Pig and Hog, the hog farmers.
Oh my God.
Yep. So this is all fine. And they're fighting Alex Parteau and Jerry Mead. And there's a doggo, more doggos in wrestling. That's important. I have decided it is a Pepe ripoff, but that's not on the dog, you know. But we haven't had one of these kinds of matches in a while on Raw. The technical term for what's happening here, Remjamin, is called feeding the big guys jobbers. We are feeding. Oh, yes, we are feeding these unimportant names that we don't know to large hoss-like gentlemen. So I had to pause and do a Google. This is the closest thing I get to hashtag journalism, is when we have these matches. I want to see what if anything happened to these folks who get fed to the large men. So after I fought off all the AI bots that were swarming masses of the new flesh, I found out that this guy is Alex the Pug Parteau. He is from Louisiana. He got his start in the Von Erich territory in Texas. He only spent 2 years at the Fed getting fed, because I do not know this guy's name. So, like, this is... He's just getting fed to large hoss-like gentlemen. This is what he did. This was it. But what is interesting, he did make it to WrestleMania, Rem. He eventually got his WrestleMania moment.
WrestleMania!
Yep.
And we're going to address what WrestleMania is, right? Is it an event?
It is.
Or a concept? Is it like Valhalla?
If only. To some people, yes. So, a pay-per-view. Pay-per-view is how it worked at the time. So you're familiar with the concept of a pay-per-view?
Yes, you pay every time you watch it.
Yep, yeah. It's like you're buying access to a live feed, basically. So they would have pay-per-views throughout the year. We haven't gotten quite to the point where it's one a month, which is where we are now, which is kind of insane. But also, don't take it away. I love it all. But I don't watch Modern Fed, really. I try, but it's painful. So, long story short, something I've never done on the pod. WrestleMania is the biggest one of these. It's like their Super Bowl. And it was they started it early in the 80s and it started on closed caption, and it was this big deal for Vince, and he took a gamble on the first one, and it went really well, and it kicked off the golden age of, like, the rebirth of wrestling being popular and being huge on TV. And it was real. More importantly, it made Vince a lot of money. So now they do one every year until the end of time. So because of that, we get WrestleMania 12 on the back of those super killer denim jackets. And WrestleMania 24, where John Cena had a clone army of other John Cenas. One of those clones was Alex the Pug Parteau. He got his WrestleMania moment. 12 years after this.
Looking crazy.
And then there
I
was
wrestling.
Right? I love wrestling. And then the other guy's Jerry Mead, who I could find nothing on. So, like, what? Moving on. This is, like, whatever. The only thing of note, really, is at one point Phineas just kind of starts freaking out in an empty ring and just, like, mule kicking and shit and just being a weird little guy. And I'm like, okay. I mean, there's not a lot else going on, so you might as well.
One thing I thought was interesting was the King would make, like, really kind of mean cracks. And Vince would say, like, that's not very nice at all. That's not a very nice thing to say. Pretending. Which I thought was, like, really funny, because I'm like, from what little I know about you, you're holding back a chuckle right now.
That is exactly, again, you have a hell of an eye for this, because that is, Lawler, first of all, it's his job to say mean shit about the guys. He's the heel commentator. He's supposed to be saying mean shit about everybody. And Vince is supposed to be, like, the straight man. I have my doubts, but he's supposed to be sorry. Oh, please don't sue me, but it was too good not to walk into that one. Thank you very much. So he's supposed to act like that's bad and blah blah blah. But yeah, it's two-sided, because he plays that up so that people won't realize that he really is that guy. And then later he flips it on its head and he's like, well, it's all fake. So when I play this absolute monster on television, like he's going to for years, where he basically is just playing himself, everyone will think, well, that's just a character. So no one will think I'm actually like that in real life, when he absolutely is. Right. Fuck that guy forever. And then a day, basically, like, oh, he's the worst. And he raised a lot of us, because we watched this shit. But, it's whatever. This match is blah. He gets slop dropped. Men dance for the people. It's great. We get video packages of Sean in Texas at the fucking Alamo. I spend the whole time looking for Pee-wee's bike. It's not there, unfortunate. Not a bad video package, though, but he's just doing, like, Rocky shit, because they're, like, hyping up the WrestleMania match. So
there's
he's like
a bleacher run.
There's a full bleacher run, and he's like training with Jose Lothario, and it's like, okay.
Giant arm.
Yeah. And then they do the same thing in Calgary with a similar package, with JR trying so hard not to sound like he's from Oklahoma. And it's just, okay, it's bad, because Vince hates that he has an Oklahoma accent, because fuck Vince. And we get to see Brett in the basement with his dad kicking his ass, which is really fucked up and funny. There's a whole backstory there. Like, the Harts are famous for their dad being crazy and kicking guys' asses in their basement. Like, so you get a little bit of that. And it's more Rocky shit, but Brett's running in snow, so it's Rocky IV. Yeah, that's how you know. Yeah.
And no one knows submission wrestling better than he is. He's the best sub in the ring.
Oh, he's the...
Also, early use of the concept of, like, clickbait.
Yeah.
It sounded like jump on the click bandwagon.
The click is Shawn Michaels' fans. What he calls his fans, but in reality, it's what him and his best friends call their little gang.
It like click with a Q? Because subtitles gave me... No, so CK?
It's it's a K at the front instead of a C. And then, like, click, like, Q-U-E at the end, yeah. Because they're edgy
subtitles,
in the 90s.
Subtitles auto-generated, and they auto-generated as, like, click.
Yeah, no,
like,
the subtitles never get this shit right. Oh, it's so awful. But yeah, Vince tries again to tell us about upcoming tag team match and forgets that he like forgets Undertaker's name for a second, which popped
it's
the shit out of me.
Stereo.
Yeah. And then we see our fourth different actor playing Scheme Gene, which is in fact making fun of Gene Okerlund. So the WCW parodies are going to continue, but on a high note, karate fighters are back. Yes! I love karate fighters, and I love when they do karate fighter things. And this is for the first ever I've seen Slam of the Week, which I find is funny because it's like in the middle of the episode. I'm like, okay, well, just letting us know the rest of the show is going to be a stinker. but it's worse than that. It's not even from this show. It's like, I'm not even familiar with it. It's just Yoko smushing two guys at once with his butt, which also might fix me. And then we get threatened with Hunter Hearst Helmsley and more Ultimate Warrior, because I guess Hunter is going to have to fight Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania, which is very funny, because Hunter is a piece of shit and he's totally going to lose. you don't beat Ultimate Warrior, basically. So that makes me happy. Trips gets lovingly stripped of his pirate shirt and kisses his valet. And I just wrote down, God, I hope that was consensual. Because she's probably just someone who was paid to be there. And like, who knows?
Yeah.
And then we get our second jobber match of the week. They're overcompensating for not giving us one for a while. The two in one week is kind of a lot. This guy, Ben Greer, is wearing lovely purple tights, though. I looked him up and I could not find anything about him other than he might have gotten into MMA, which, you know, good for him. Either way, he gets destroyed by a very still green and not great Triple Paul. Look at him go. Isn't he pretty? Hunter better enjoy this, though, because like he is absolutely going to lose.
Who is Mr. Perfect?
Mr. Perfect no longer is working at WWF, but he was a guy named Kurt Hennig, who is from Minnesota, actually. And he was a very good wrestler, and he had the Perfect Plex, which was like a suplex where he hooked your leg. I liked Mr. Perfect very much. Why do you ask?
Because they mentioned it at some point during the fight, so I just wrote down, who is Mr. Perfect? No, I think it was even Mr. Perfect couldn't have done that, or something, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. They're still talking about him because he like just left before that. So they're like, want people to still, but remember when we had that guy, and he's eventually going to show up on WCW. So whatever. Hunter gives us his little curtsy because he beats the dude real quick. We find that there is a new Ted Turner bashing bit. They've been doing this for months now, where they do these little not funny sketches about how awful Ted Turner is and how old Hulk Hogan is. And Vince is mad. He misses his special tan muscle boy so bad, but don't put in the paper that he's mad. No, and that's why
I'm laughing, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking sad. I was
very confused by those bits. So thank you for providing context to them, because I'm like, this isn't funny and it isn't fighting and it isn't anything. What are you selling me right now?
It's a rich old man being petty is what it is. So mercifully, we get to come back to Owen and Bulldog versus Yoko and Undertaker.
A 1-900 number for lying Baldy.
Oh yeah, for lying Baldy, that which is pretty good. God damn it. And again, I kind of like that because Mean Gene does suck like that. But this match has banger tendencies because three of these four guys are really good at this, and one of them's an undead Nazi. for more on that, listen to Hate Speech Pod, which I was a guest on coming out this week as well. And I spent about an hour and a half talking about all the reasons why Undertaker sucks ass. I hate him. He is a bad person, and I hate him so much. so that Can was fun. Can
we give him one millionth of a point?
Yeah.
For being called Paul Bearer.
Oh, for the guy he has the.
Oh, that's just that's another his guy. That's Marvelous. His we don't give him a point then.
No, Undertaker doesn't get a point. Paul can get points. No points for Undertaker. Paul is his manager. Yes, which is great. Great bit, Paul Bearer.
I had to pause it. I was like literal laugh out loud. Pause it. Go back over what I'd laughed over.
So fucking good. No, I love me a punny name. It's good. So we come back and the witch makes his way out to a huge pop from the crowd. But that's not what Vince wants. Vince wants the people to care about Diesel. So they show him watching a monitor and it's like, okay, whatever. Again, like let's distract from the wrestling. Big Daddy Stone
Diesel.
Yeah, Big Daddy Cool.
I know it's cool, but originally I'd written down Stone and I'm like, why did I write that? And then I'm like, because...
Yeah, I like that better. Taker does his lighting trick and Yoko acts freaked out by his own partner. Yoko was actually good. He's acting. You think he's good at this. For a second there, they do the are they going to make out face again? And in perfect harmony, they just break away and punch everyone.
I thought that was so fucking cool.
It was great. And it happened because, like, IRL, Yoko and Taker are really good friends. Like Sean and Hunter and them had the click, like where they're friends. It was their little boys club. These guys had the Bone Street Crew where they could pretend to be badass bikers and they would get high and drink whiskey and play dominoes, basically. Nice. So like they're, you know, it made for like fun theatrics because they probably hung out and talked about the kind of shit they wanted to do, you know? So this is great, but it makes me so mad and confused when Diesel just comes out because like the crowd's loving this. And then Vince is like, no, we have to make it about something else. So Diesel comes out and attacks Paul Bearer and distracts Taker. He goes full zombie mode and just leaves the match to find Diesel just abandoning Yoko as we go to commercial. So now it's 2-on-1 and the ref is just kind of letting them go to town on him because like whatever, the match doesn't matter. It's just a platform for run-ins because now here comes Vader to help kick his ass, and then Ahmed Johnson to save Yoko. I have Yoko.
A couple of, sorry.
Please, no, it's just, it's madness, it's chaos, please. No,
it is, I'm sitting here listening, and I'm like, oh, wait, I'm getting the points. Let's see, I liked the, I nothing I do impresses you. I could walk on water and you would say the king can't swim.
Yeah.
But that was about him getting bodily lifted by Mark Henry and dropped on the ground.
I do appreciate that. See, I miss that because I mostly block out the commentary because I hate it so much.
And then we get a couple of, there was a not funny McMahon, but I don't remember what it is.
Yeah. God. Yeah, exactly. So
Big Daddy Cool Diesel, not cool at all.
Not cool at all.
Was my favorite line of commentary.
Yeah, that's kind of the best Raw gets these days. Yeah.
But and then WrestleMania question again was just, what the fuck is WrestleMania? I thought it was an event, like a specific event.
Is it a style?
I know now, but it took me a while until you explained it.
Yes.
Because they're like, he's going to reach WrestleMania tonight. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Because they're saying things that are mostly gibberish. And it doesn't really, even in context, it doesn't make much sense. But, you know, this is a road to WrestleMania Raw, as we would call it. Because none of this matters. They're just sending people out. Jake the Snake's here. Ahmed Johnson's here. And it's just an opportunity for them to, like, tell everyone that this is what's coming at the pay-per-view. It's very sad. It makes me sad. And then they end it that way. I feel kind of hypocritical.
Four refs and three officials and six wrestlers all in the ring at once. It was described as full of humanity. And my favorite. Oh, and then so it ends with my notes. End with you saw what he did to Gorilla Monsoon, because yes. I just thought that was an amazing sentence.
Gorilla Monsoon is a guy that Vader beat up. Yes.
Yeah, but then at the end, the last notes. What even happened? Who won? And then in all caps, me, the viewer.
Yeah. I feel like that's your overall Raw thoughts. Who won? Me, the viewer. Done, Rem. That's Raw. Yeah. We got through the whole fucking show.
And like one thing, Raw I think is probably easier to get through than Nitro just because like it felt like 90% of that was promos.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of wrestling on Raw, and that's
like if you took out the wrestling, took out the promos, it'd be like, I mean, there were two actual matches and
there were four matches total, but two of them were feeding jobbers to large hoss like gentlemen and Pretty Boy. Yeah, so like it doesn't really necessarily count, you know, but like Raw is still like that. Raw nowadays, it's on Netflix now, it is 3 hours long and it's still four matches, so like that should tell you how bad it is. But who did you like Raw or Nitro more this week is my question.
Yeah. I think I preferred Raw.
Yeah.
I was not a fan of the Gold Dust segment.
Naturally.
But
yeah.
I do like the general, like, I don't know, it felt pleasing.
And it's very entertainment heavy.
Yeah. It feels, I don't know, it feels like going and you go to be lied to.
Yeah, a bit, basically, yeah.
Versus, like, Nitro, which felt like it had more, like, Nitro felt a little more real, or a little less fake, I should say.
Yeah, a little less fake, and it's depending on, you're kind of hitting the nail on the head of, like, what kind of wrestling fan you are, you know what I mean? Like, if you're, what you're looking for depends on what you're going to end up watching if you want more if you want more of the sleazy, weird, entertaining me stuff where you want the less fake. I, for one, prefer the less fake. So for me, it was Nitro by a mile. My favorite match this week was Road Warriors versus the Steiners. Because like, even though I hate everyone in that match as a person, it was so fucking great to watch.
Well, I was trying also to compare, because Nitro at 1.5 speed was amazing. It was amazing. See?
That's another thing. You had
I watched them at different speeds. So I was trying to like make it balanced and fair. I'll probably either watch Raw at 1.5 or or Nitro at regular and see. Yeah.
See if that makes a difference. Do some science. Yeah. You can come back at a later episode. Let us know how that goes.
Excellent.
In the meantime, though, now is the point where if you would like to be found, you can tell people where they can do that.
Oh, okay. Now, let's see. This is like a really big decision here.
Right. Which one do you send them to?
I know. And I might even change my handle eventually, so I worry. Yeah. Anyway, I'm the post. If you see someone with a really long display name that just reads the post, that's probably me. My handle is rem.bsky.lol right now.
Yes.
But it's also a lot of other things. But that's the main place you can find me.
Excellent. Yeah, fantastic. It's a good place. We're a Blue Sky podcast, folks. And to you other sickos, thank you for hanging out and thank you for being on the show, Rem.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I hope you can make it to one of our Patreon hangouts eventually and we'll watch wrestling in real time. All former guests get invited. And for everyone else, thank y'all. Thank y'all for listening. I still can't believe you do. It's wonderful. You can find us on Blue Sky at mnffpod.bsky.social. Now is usually the time where I'd say I'll eventually update the Instagram, but I'm not going to. In fact, I'm going to try to fucking delete it, as should you.
Best of luck.
Right? Yeah, God, they make it hard. So if you want to join the Patreon for all those previous things I saw, at patreon.com/mnffpod. And there's all kinds of fun things. Occasionally we have like overrun conversations or we do our little MST3K style watch parties where we get a bunch of people to hang out and watch the pay-per-views, you know, because it's continuing the story. So that way we can fill in the bits in between. But otherwise, thank y'all again. And we will see you next week for more Raw versus Nitro on Monday Night Fake Fights. Okay, bye.
Ghost Coast Studios. Thanks for listening.